Heavenly Father, we thank you for all things. We thank you, Lord, most especially for your word that is everlasting and always true. And Father, we just ask your blessing on today. I surrender myself to you in every way and ask you to use me as your humble servant that I might speak what you would have me speak and that the hearers would hear what you want them to hear. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have a couple of questions to ask before I get started. Are any of you tired? Are you overwhelmed? Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Are you overloaded with the amount of work that you have to do on a regular basis? Do you ever wake up thinking about what you have to do all day? Well, before I became a believer, I can remember before I would even wake up, and I don't know if you have experienced, your eyes aren't open, but your conscious comes awake, and you can begin thinking. I can remember when I would wake up, my eyes wouldn't be open yet, and my mind would begin racing. It would begin thinking about this task and this task and this task, and it would be like a merry-go-round going in my mind before my eyes even opened. And then by the time I hit my feet hit the floor, I was full of anxiety. Anybody experienced that before, or is it just me? Okay. And, you know, like many of us, you probably get up and go to work. Hopefully you have a job. You get up and go to work, and you work hard. And your boss expects a lot from you. He expects your best performance. And then, or if you don't have a job, you might have a business. And then all your customers are your boss. And you have to meet their needs. And so there's a performance, there's an expectation on us. And then after work, you go home, and there's things to take care of on the property. You have to cut the grass, do the garbage, food shopping, cooking, cleaning, serving, laundry, clean the house. And so there's things to do at home. Never mind when something breaks, like your septic backs up, and then you have a basement full of mess that you need to deal with on top of that. And then we haven't even talked about the children yet. Then you have to deal with your children if you have children. They have sports, they have recitals, they have birthdays. They want your attention and your time. And so you see, before you know it, the whole family just becomes busy and becomes overworked. And I don't know if you're aware, the secular view, the whole idea of life from a secular view is more. Have you picked that up? And not only is it more and more, it's also faster and faster. And so do you realize that information is doubling about every 2 years? That means that what you've learned today is likely going to be obsolete in 2 years. And you're going to have to learn something new. Now, I don't know about you, but I struggle with that. I was very happy to learn what I learned and be done with it, and I just do what I do. So many of us are overloaded, and if you can't keep up, then you get left behind and become obsolete. There will always be somebody younger, smarter, stronger, faster, who can outdo you. So there's a tremendous pressure on us to keep up. When we're too busy and overworked, then we have stress. And stress takes a toll on us physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. So let me ask you, how often do you say I'm busy? It seems strange to me that oftentimes when I talk to people, after you do the cordial, you know, how's the weather and so forth, and then the next question seems to be, are you busy? I go to the plumbing store. It's like, hey, are you busy? Like there's some sort of an affirmation. If I'm busy, you're busy. If you're busy and I'm not, then I feel bad. If I'm busy and you're not, then I feel good. So have we possibly connected something to do with busyness regarding success or our well-being? Have we connected possibly busyness with making money and then money with security and then security in a confidence, a false confidence based on our circumstances rather than our identity in Christ. So I actually have, this being Labor Day, what I think it's important for us to consider is work and rest and what's a proper balance of that in God's perspective, not ours. And so in Ephesians 5, there's a, and verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." So one of, I believe, one of our responsibilities is to expose the schemes of darkness, expose the tactics of the devil who tries to destroy our lives. Not just keep, see, this is why I kind of don't go along with this surface stuff. Because if you stay surface, you can't deal with those issues. And quite honestly, I want to get well. I want to get better. I want to have peace in the fullness and the joy that God has for me to live my life. And I can't do it on the surface. It's impossible. So you might want to consider what keeps you there if you're there. So in light of exposing some of the schemes, I have this letter that I found called Busy. I'd like to read it to you. Satan called a worldwide convention. In his opening address to his evil angels, he said, "We can't keep the Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. We can't even keep them from forming intimate, abiding relationship experience with Christ. If they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So let them go to their churches, let them have their conservative lifestyles, but steal their time so that they can't gain that relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to do, angels. Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining that vital connection throughout their day. How shall we do this?" shouted his angels. "Keep them busy in non-essentials of life, and invent innumerable schemes to occupy their minds," he answered. "Tempt them to spend, 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 and borrow, borrow, borrow. Persuade the wives to go to work for long hours, and the husbands to work 7 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day, so they can afford their empty lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children. As their family fragments, soon their home will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear that still, small voice. Entice them to play the radio or cassette," this is old, "radio or cassette player whenever they drive, to keep the TV, VCR, CDs, and their PCs going constantly in their homes. And see to it that every store and restaurant in the world plays non-biblical music constantly. This will jam their minds and break that union with Christ. Fill the coffee table with magazines and newspapers. Pound their minds with the news 24 hours a day. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, mail order catalogs, sweepstakes of every kind, newsletter and promotion offering free service, free products, services, and false hopes. Keep skinny, beautiful models on the magazines so the husbands will believe that external beauty is what's important, and they'll become dissatisfied with their wives. Ha! That will fragment those families quickly. Even in their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from their recreation exhausted, disquieted, and unprepared for the coming week. Don't let them go out in nature to reflect on God's wonders. Send them to amusement parks, sporting events, concerts, and movies instead. Keep them busy, busy, busy. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip and small talk, as the surface, so that they leave the troubled consciences and unsettled emotion. Go ahead, let them be involved in soul winning, but crowd their lives with so many good causes that they have no time to seek power from Christ. Soon they will be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health and family for the good of the cause. It will work. It will work." It was quite a convention, and the evil angels went eagerly to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to get busy, 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 and to rush here and there. I guess the question is, has the devil been successful at his scheme? you be the judge. Please take heed of the message it brings. Busy being under Satan's yoke. Are you busy? Busyness is something that actually I withdraw from now. Because that's one of the things that has happened to me in my life is I became over busy trying to, and I'm afraid that the reality of it is trying to avoid the issues that are below the surface. Thinking that my peace and my well-being is in the race and somehow getting to the end of it. But we know that that's an illusion. Because there's always something new and something more and something bigger. We can never finish that. So there are some actual symptoms that we can observe that we will know that, that doctors have proven, science has proven through studies of what types of things happen to someone who's overly stressed, overworked. So we have some things on the slide to show you. Physical symptoms. Stress headaches, back pain, chest pain, heart disease, heart palpitations, high blood pressure, decreased immunity, stomach upset, sleep problems. Then there's mental symptoms. Worrying, muddled thinking, impaired judgment, nightmares, indecisions, negativity, hasty decisions. And then there's emotional, as Carol was talking about, where three parts to us as human beings. The emotion part of us, there's anxiety, there's restlessness, there's worry, there's irritability, depression, sadness, anger, feeling insecure, lack of focus, burnout, or forgetfulness. And then there's behavioral issues. Overeating, undereating, angry outbursts, drug or alcohol abuse, increased smoking, social withdrawal, crying spells, relationship conflict, and I put in there all addictions. They're all coming to this category. Or any ungodliness. And so this is not an all-inclusive list. There's probably a whole bunch more that I don't know about or we don't know about. But these are the types of things that can happen to us as Christians. And one of the important things to realize, God came not that we could live like this. He came to free us from this. And how many of you know what this is? Does anybody know what this is?
It's a plum.
This is a kind.
Huh? Not the eaten kind. This is a plum line. Okay?
And I'll tell you, when I discovered this, I actually used this in my work. I can remember quite a few years ago now, right down the other end of Main Street, I was working a big construction job. And I would have a pipe running in the ground, and I had to bring it up overhead 30 feet high. And I had to make sure it was straight. And so one of the things I did was I took one of these plumb bobs, so a plumb bob or a plumb line, they call it, and I held it up to the ceiling and let it go all the way down to where the pipe was in the ground. And when it got right directly over that pipe and it was still, I marked it. And I knew that that mark was going to be a true straight line going all the way down. Now, what Jesus did, I believe, is he came down from heaven and he dropped a plumb line from the heavens to the earth to show us how to live our lives, to show us what that straight line is. There's a practical application in a lot of these things that we need to consider. And now, not only is this a plumb line, but I also want to show you that this is a pendulum. It swings. Okay? And one of the problems that I've struggled with, and I expect there's others here, is I would swing from one side to the other, one side to the other. And I couldn't find that place of balance. And I believe firmly that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to live a God-centered, balanced life. He doesn't want me going radical on one side or the other. He wants me to live in the peace of the understanding of who I am in Christ, in my identity in Christ. And he wants me to live a balanced, whole, healthy life. So if there's any of these symptoms happening in your life, you might want to consider bringing that plumb line in. And one of the ways to do that is going to Carol's meeting or going to this meeting. That's how you look at the plumb line, and you're measuring. You're doing the work like I did. You go up and you hold it steady, and you're doing it spiritually. You're doing it in your life biblically to see, where are you? Are you off your mark? Are you swinging on the pendulum? Where are you regarding that plumb line? So let me encourage you to get involved in some of these things and not just be a visitor here. Get involved in the work. Okay, so let's take a look at some of the things that God says about this, about work. If we go back into Genesis in chapter 1, we see that God made all of creation in 6 days. And then in verse 2, it says, on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So we see that God, by his example, now we know God never sleeps and slumbers. God never wearies. He never gets tired. He doesn't have to rest. But I'm thinking one of the reasons why he's done that is to show an example to us on how we're to live our life. So if we go a little further down, we see that that after God made creation, he didn't allow anything to grow. There was no herb or plant that grew because the Lord didn't cause it to rain, and there was no man to till the ground. But in the midst, a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So I'm thinking God basically installed an underground irrigation system. But he didn't really turn it on yet. And then if we look a little further down, then God created Adam, and he took Adam in verse 15. He took the man and he put him in the garden to tend it and to keep it. So Adam was given a job. And his job was to till the ground, to tend it, and to keep it. Now something else seems to have happened after the fall. After the fall, we see in Genesis 3, says, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat herb, the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Now I'm thinking that something changed here. The work before was probably pretty easy. It maybe was something like a hobby. It maybe was just dwelling in the fellowship of the Lord, enjoying the paradise of the Garden of Eden. But after the fall, it became a burden. It became toil. It became work. It became fighting the thorns and thistles. I have a garden at home. I don't know if anybody here gardens. I have a garden at home. And I got to tell you what. We planted the garden, and a couple days went by, and I see these little green shoots coming out the whole thing. I said, what is that? I didn't plant anything there. There were weeds. The whole thing. I looked at that, and I said, this is, maybe it'll go away. It didn't go away. They grew, and they grew, and they grew faster than the plants. In fact, because we didn't take care of it, they choked out the plants. And so the fruit that we got was very skimpy compared to what it should have been. But do you realize how much work that is involved with going in there and weeding every day and pulling them out? It's hard work. But that's what happened at the fall. The work became hard. So many of us might not be farmers. We don't have to do that to eat. But you have different jobs. I do plumbing for my income. So I go work hard at my plumbing job, and I sweat, and I deal with the struggle, and I earn money, and then I go to the supermarket, and I buy my food, and I take it home and cook it and eat it. And you all have different jobs that you might do, but the same principle applies here, that you have to work hard. And it's sweat, and it's fighting the thorns and thistles in order to eat. So, and then we see down in 2 Thessalonians, it says, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So we have confirmation that work is required. If we want to eat, we have to work. And now the work is hard because of the fall. So that's the physical side. And let's take a look at the rest side of this. So the Lord, after he finished his work of creation, we want to know, what does rest look like? And we have a slide up there, picture of Goofy.